Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good afternoon, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main evening news at 5:30. Coming up on this bulletin, the government says it's not satisfied with the loss of the afternoon Donegal-Dublin flight, but insists signing a new contract was the only way to keep the route operational. The Taoiseach has identified former British agent known as Steakknife as Freddie Capatici in the Dáil. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin claimed the British military agents were responsible for the murder of Eddie Fullerton. And a joint Caractus committee has heard the downgrading of dozens of defective concrete remediation applicants in Donegal is based on unproven scientific assumptions. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport at 6:15. First off in news, the government says it's not satisfied with the loss of the afternoon Donegal-Dublin flight, but insists signing a new contract was the only way to keep the route operational. The Taoiseach says without the agreement reached yesterday with Emerald Airlines, all flights between Donegal and Dublin would have stopped. Campaigners from Donegal Cancer Flights and Services travelled to Leinster House today with a petition signed by more than 15,000 people, making calls for the schedule to remain unchanged. Donegal TD Pierce Doherty says the public service obligation contract diminishes the service to Donegal.
Taoiseach, Mary Lou raised this issue with you earlier on, and we have the campaigners from Donegal here with us that made the journey. Taoiseach, the long and the short of it is your government entered into a contract with Emerald Airlines yesterday. That contract now ends the afternoon flights to Donegal and Dublin. You've done that despite the fact that Donegal Airport asked you not to do so, that they were taking legal opinion. The Cancer Campaign Group asked you not to do it. 15,000 people across Donegal asked you not to do it. I made pleas myself in the floor of the chamber and privately to the ministers asking you not to do it. And you signed a contract that now diminishes the service to Donegal. These people that are here today, this delegation, are not here for the good of their health. They represent not just 500 cancer patients that at any given time see this service as a lifeline, but representing 15,000 people in the last couple of days alone that signed this petition, knowing that this is going to have a devastating blow. You said you would do everything within your legal limit. I take the opportunity now to set out what you can do. Thank you.
The Taoiseach has identified former British agent known as Steakknife as Freddie Capatici in the Dáil. The Canova inquiry linked the high-ranking agent to murder, kidnapping and torture during the Troubles, but stopped short of naming him. Capatici died in 2023 at the age of 77. Victims' families have urged the British government to formally confirm his identity, as Michal Micheál Martin has now echoed.
The identity of Steakknife is clear to everybody here, and I've previously said that the agent should be officially named by the United Kingdom government, particularly because of his close relationship with those who like to refer to themselves as the Republican Movement. It is widely known that Steakknife was Freddie Capatici. He was recruited by the British Army, with whom he worked between the late 1970s and 1990s.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin claimed British military agents were responsible for the murder of Eddie Fullerton in 1991 in the Dáil today. Deputy McLaughlin said the assassination of the Donegal County Councillor was the work of at least two agents and that he believed another was also involved. He believes one of the agents he named as Person K oversaw the murders of 17 people and then the attempted murders of seven others. Deputy McLaughlin claimed Person K was also responsible for overseeing the 1993 Grey Steel Massacre in Derry.
Person K was a British military agent who was overseeing the operation where Councillor Eddie Fullerton was assassinated. He overseen the murders of 17 people and the attempted murders of seven. Up until the Grey Steel Massacre, he was a very useful agent for the British. Sinn Féin members, Sinn Féin elected representatives and Republican leaders. But in Grey Steel, he went solo. He totally overseen the operation. We have a situation where the man who drove the car, named Person K, the man who gave the weapons afterwards to the RUC, named Person K. Person K's fingerprints were on the weapons used in the Grey Steel Massacre, yet Person K was never charged because Person K was a British military agent. Even after Grey Steel Massacre, he was not dealt with. This was reported to the PSNI. If you look at the end of the report from January 2022, at the very end of that report, the Police Ombudsman's Office confirms that they passed this file over to the PSNI in 2016. 10 years later, I want to know, what have the PSNI done around the actions of Person K? Someday I'll name Person K in this chamber. But Minister, I challenge you to get those answers. How did this man get away with all of that?
Canada's Prime Minister is on the way to the scene of one of the country's worst mass shootings. Seven people were found dead at a secondary school in British Columbia, as well as the shooter who's described as a female in a dress. The bodies of two other victims were found dead in a house nearby. Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney says the people of his country will support each other.
We will get through this, we will learn from this, but right now it's a time to come together, as Canadians always do in these situations, these terrible situations, to support each other, to mourn together and to grow together.
A joint Oireachtas committee has heard that the downgrading of dozens of defective concrete remediation applications in Donegal is based on an unproven scientific assumption that it's mica causing the deterioration of the blocks. Marty McElhenney is one of those affected and told the committee that research proves the cause is actually pyrotite, but that's not factored into outdated criteria, which is still being applied by the department.
There is actually no proven scientific evidence to support the mica-free thaw theory. What is scientifically established and supported by extensive research is that in Donegal, our homes are deteriorating due to internal sulphate attack because of the pyrotite present in the aggregate. This has been proven by an international expert research consortium led by Professor Paul Dunlop at Ulster University. These findings have been presented to the NSAI and are published on the Geological Survey of Ireland website. So we've been downgraded based on the assumption that the blocks retained are not at risk of freeze-thaw. This is completely inadequate because our homes have pyrotite in the blocks, and we know that it's internal sulphate attack due to the pyrotite present. That is the reason our blocks are crumbling and deteriorating.
Speaking at the committee, 100% Redress Deputy Charles Ward says he takes a special interest in Marty McElhenney's case.
Marty's case I take very personally because in 1999-2000... I actually built her house. We are here because a concrete block that I was given was defective, and her family are now suffering 26 years later. This has gone on from the 90s all the way into the 2000s. We've seen this, and there's more and more people coming through, and we can see what's coming on ahead. We've got to recognise this as a humanitarian crisis.
Oh well, around 200 more homeowners will be eligible for funding under the expanded pyrite remediation scheme. The project was set up 12 years ago to correct significant damage caused by the presence of pyrite in stone blocks in homes. Up to the end of 2024, 2,850 homeowners had works completed at a cost of just under 200 million euro. The affected homes are in 9 local authority areas, but the bulk of that number is in Dublin and Fingal. New data has revealed that 16 dogs died during or immediately after races at Lifford Stadium during 2025. The data was obtained by People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy in a parliamentary question to Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden. 15 of the 16 dogs were euthanised by a vet at the track, with the 16th dog dying in a racing fatality. Nationally, 197 dogs died on tracks last year. Letterkenny Milford Municipal District has been told 31 families are in need of housing in Milford, while 17 houses at Lochfern Heights are lying empty. Councillor Declan Meehan told members the houses were to have been acquired by an approved housing body, but that hasn't been done because of a disagreement over price. A previous deal with Donegal County Council broke down for similar reasons some time ago. Councillor Meehan says the council should now write directly to Minister James Brown, asking for all possible avenues to be examined to allow the houses to be brought into use. He believes ministerial intervention is now necessary.
I've brought this issue up several times since becoming elected. It has been raised by colleagues numbers of times before that. I think we're at a stage now where all the official lines of processes have been exhausted, and what we need now is the Minister for Housing, James Brown TD, to actually intervene personally to look at this and to see how to get it over the line. We hear enough from the Minister for Housing how he's committed to delivering housing. Well, there's 17 houses sitting there empty, so let him put his money where his mouth is and get this over the line.
You've made the point there are 31 families on the list in the Milford area. This would not resolve at all, but this would resolve more than half of the actual list in this area. This would make a real appreciable local difference.
It really, really would. And look, at you know, people faced with housing insecurity, people faced with homelessness, people faced with evictions, this is going on a daily basis. People in insecure HAP tenancies, people who are faced with rent hikes, it's all happening. And these 17 units would at least provide some consolation and a long-term home and housing security for 17 families in the town of Milford. While it's not a dent on the bigger picture, at least it would be something. And again, the houses are sitting there ready to go.
Well, Part 8 planning has been granted today for five council houses at Cossin na Nearly in Rathmullen, consisting of 2 1-bed, 2 2-bed and 1 3-bed units. The decision was taken at a special housing meeting, which was told progress continues to be made on the council's social housing programme. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The go-ahead for the five houses in Rathmullen today follows approval for 4 social homes in Lahey, which was given at the end of January. Members were told that progress continues to be made on the council's social housing plans. Following a tender process, letters have gone out in relation to the old fire station in Stranorlar, with hopes that works will be started by the end of next month. The meeting was told a number of other projects which have been approved are about to go to tender. They include a 10-unit scheme in Newton Cunningham, a 14-unit scheme at Old Town in Letterkenny and a 17-unit scheme in Derry Beg. Meanwhile, tender documents for a 12-unit scheme in Milford are being finalised. Members were told that of the council's overall plan, 403 social homes have been completed, 466 are on site, with 266 at the dialogue stage.
It's 5:42 here on Highland Radio. We'll have some ad breaks and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:45 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Robbie Keane insists he's content where he is, despite being linked with the vacant manager's job at Tottenham Hotspur. The former Ireland and Spurs captain is currently in charge at Ferencvaros, who lead the Hungarian top flight. Tottenham, who are 16th in the Premier League, sacked manager Thomas Frank after last night's defeat to Newcastle. Former Spurs boss Harry Redknapp says he's willing to take charge on an interim basis until the end of the season, but he admits he is unlikely to be on the shortlist.
Listen, I'm a realist. I don't live in cuckoo land. It's very doubtful if I would get the job. Could I do the job? Yeah, of course I could do the job. It's what they need now is someone to go in, get down to basics, hard work. When you lose the ball, don't be embarrassed to run and try to get it back.
Tonight, Manchester City can close the gap on leaders Arsenal to 3 points. That's if they beat Fulham at the Etihad Stadium. Elsewhere, third-placed Aston Villa entertain Brighton. Nottingham Forest host bottom side Wolves and Crystal Palace take on Burnley. All those games kick off at 7:30, with Sunderland's meeting with Liverpool underway from 8:15. Reds boss Arne Slot knows they'll have to be close to perfect for the rest of the season to qualify for the Champions League. His side start tonight's Premier League match at Sunderland, 6 points behind fifth-placed Chelsea and 6 adrift of Manchester United in 4th.
To close the gap of 4 or 5 points towards the number 3, 4, 5, that means you have to win a lot. And that's not what we've done this season a lot, so that's why that has to be better and we have to come close to perfection.
Celtic start the night 9 points off top spot in the Scottish Premiership ahead of the visit of Livingston to Parkhead. Rangers, who are 6 points adrift, go away to Motherwell. The clash between Dundee United and Aberdeen tonight has been called off due to a waterlogged pitch. The ATU Donegal men's soccer side bowed out of the Eustace Cup at the quarterfinal stage earlier this afternoon. The Letterkenny based side were beaten 5-1 by TU Dublin in Blanchardstown. Moving on to Gaelic games, Donegal's clash with Mayo in the National Football League Division 1 at O'Donnell Park this Sunday is a sellout. Around 9,000 spectators are expected to attend the game in Letterkenny. And if you didn't get a ticket, you can tune into Highland Radio, where we will have full live match coverage and build-up from around 1:30. Well, Croke Park is the venue for football's Sigerson Cup final tonight. 24-time champions UCC face University of Limerick, who are chasing a first-ever Sigerson crown. Throw-in is at 25-8. In golf, Lauren Walsh is off to a good start at the Saudi Ladies International with the Kildare woman 3 shots off the lead after the opening round. On 5 under par, Walsh is within touching distance of leader Hee Jin Twa of South Korea. Anna Foster ended the opening day on 2 under par. In cricket, Australia have handed Ireland their second defeat at the T20 World Cup in Colombo. Nathan Ellis and Adam Zampa took 4 wickets each, with Ireland finishing on 115 for 9. Ireland had been set a target of 184 and lost opening batsman Paul Sterling to injury after just 1 delivery in the first over. They play Oman next up on Saturday. In rugby, Ireland's under-20s head coach Andrew Brown has named his team for Friday's hosting of Italy in the Six Nations. There are 3 changes to the team that suffered a 50-21 defeat to France in Perpignan last Saturday. Lee Fitzpatrick, Joe Finn and Rob Kearney all come into the side for the game in Cork. Finally, at the Winter Olympics, Ireland's Cormac Comerford finished 37th in the Super G in Italy this afternoon. The Dubliner completed the event to finish over 9 seconds behind winner Franjo von Almen of Switzerland. That is all your sport for today. We're back with more during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. An Garda Síochána has failed to meet its roads policing recruitment targets for the second year in a row. In Donegal, just 1 officer was assigned to a roads policing unit last year, based in Milford. Alex Rowley reports.
Appearing before an Oireachtas committee in 2024, former Garda Commissioner Drew Harris made this commitment.
We plan to add 75 Gardaí to roads policing this year and a further 75 in 2025.
But despite that, just 23 were added that year, and so the force said it would fulfil the full 150 last year. It didn't. Instead, a further 56 guards were transferred to roads policing. Here's Road Safety Minister Sean Canning.
I've been breathalysed, I think, once. I have seen checkpoints. I see a lot of checkpoints, and especially coming up and down from Galway to Dublin, you see checkpoints on the road.
But have other people seen them around?
I don't think I've been stopped in Dublin in years. I've been breathalysed a few times.
I don't know about undercover cars, but I don't see enough Garda cars. In town, yes, but where I live, no.
An Garda Síochána says there's no minimum baseline for personnel allocation to any dedicated unit. Well, here's Labour's Alan Kelly's reaction to that.
That's completely contradictory from Garda Síochána. Why did the Commissioner set a baseline? You can see there's a lack of roads policing in many parts of the country. There's a lack of roads policing in rural Ireland. There's a lack of roads policing in urban areas.
This shortfall came in a year when road deaths climbed by 14 to 188.
Works are set to commence on the Drumbo Woods walkway next Monday. The scenic path has been closed to the public for 13 years now, and councillors were told last year that it should be reopened once works at the Finn Valley College were complete. The news has been welcomed by Councillor Martin Harley. He says this has been a long time coming and is looking forward to the walkway opening.
It's good news for the community there at Drumbo that contracts have been signed and all, for the contract to start works next Monday to do the works on the pathway and open the walkway up to the woods. So it'll be great. It'll probably, the works now possibly take 2 to 3 weeks, but still it's very positive. And after almost 14 years, it's very great for the people of the area. That'll be, it's like we often hear about different greenways and all that, they're opening, and this is an actual, which will open up the woods to a completely new area, which people at the moment were having to travel down Troost in order to go up into the woods. They'll be able to access the woods now directly from the Drumbo area and from the Dunwiley site as well, which is great.
Looking now to the weather forecast, cloudy and misty with scattered outbreaks of rain. Lowest temperatures overnight of 1 to 4 degrees in light to moderate northeast winds. To conclude this evening's news, a look back at today's main stories. The government says it is not satisfied with the loss of the afternoon Donegal-Dublin flight, but insists signing a new contract was the only way to keep the route operational. The Taoiseach says without the agreement reached yesterday with Emerald Airlines, all flights between Donegal and Dublin would have stopped. Campaigners from Donegal Cancer Flights and Services travelled to Leinster House today with a petition signed by more than 15,000 peoples to make the call for the schedule to remain unchanged. The Taoiseach identified former British agent known as Steak Knife as Freddie Scapatici in The Dáil. The Canova inquiry linked the high-ranking agent to murder, kidnapping and torture during the Troubles, but stopped short of naming him. Scapatici died in 2023 at the age of 77. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin claimed British military agents were responsible for the murder of Eddie Fullerton in 1991. Speaking in the Dáil, Deputy McLaughlin said the assassination of the Donegal County Councillor was the work of at least two agents and that he believed another was also involved. He added that one of the agents he named as Person K oversaw the murders of 17 people and the attempted murders of seven others. And finally, Canada's Prime Minister is on the way to the scene of one of the country's worst mass shootings. Seven people were found dead at a secondary school in British Columbia, as well as the shooter, who's described as a female in a dress. The bodies of the other two victims were found dead in a house nearby. That's all for now from the newsroom. We'll be back again with news at 7.
The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, February the 11th. The death has occurred of Paddy DeWard, Mina Carriga, Ballybuffet. Reposing at his late residence today from 6pm to 9pm and tomorrow from 11am until 9pm. Funeral leaving from there on Friday at 10:15am for Requiem Mass at 11am in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar. Interment in Stranorlar Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Pat Daniels Cunningham, 78 Emerald Drive, Killybegs, formerly of Ballyara, Killybegs. Reposing at McBrearty's funeral home today until 10pm. Funeral Mass tomorrow in St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, at 11am, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Mass will be streamed live at mcn.live. The death has occurred of Edna Boyce, née Casey, Castle Blaw, Newton Cunningham. Edna's remains are reposing at her home today until 9pm and tomorrow from 1pm until 9pm. A one-way system is in place. Please follow signs entering by the Galdena Road side. Funeral cortege leaving her late residence on Friday morning at 10:20am, going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for 11am Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Kelly's Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Rafoe. The death has taken place of Gerald McFadden, Air Hill, Tank Road, Remelton. Reposing at his home today until 10pm and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10pm. Requiem Mass on Friday at 12 noon in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Aris E. Donal Nursing Home Residence Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Sean Toland, Altna Derry, Killay, and Foyle Road, Derry. His remains are reposing in Altna Derry, Killay. Funeral from there tomorrow at 11:30am for 12 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Killay. Interment afterwards in the Church of All Saints Cemetery, Newton Cunningham. Family time, please, from 10pm tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Owen Moore Care Home Comfort Fund, Colmore Road, Derry. The death has taken place of Paddy Call, Massanas, Krishla, reposing at his lit residence today and tomorrow from 2pm to 9pm. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Krishla, on Friday at 11am, burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Joe McRorty, Ballantra, reposing at his home today until 9pm. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 11am in St Bridget's Church, Ballantra, followed by burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family home private, please, before the funeral tomorrow. A shuttle bus service will be in operation from Smarty Pants Car Park, Ballantra, from 5pm. Parking available at Upper Main Street, Ballantra, and the Methodist Church Car Park. Family flowers only, donations in lieu, if so desired, to Irish Cancer Society. Funeral Mass may be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Margaret Lake, 16 O'Gara Villas, Mobile. Margaret's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.